Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Monday afternoon. We'll get into an NFL no huddle, two NFL no huddles actually, 45 straight minutes of NFL conversation coming up in just a couple of minutes, obviously starting with what the Falcons were able to do to the Saints yesterday at home, and then on through all the rest of the games. Two more games tonight, too.
Yeah.
You got the Monday Night Football doubleheader, Titans and Dolphins, which...
Oh.
All right.
Hey, Snoop starting, baby.
Snoop starting
for
the Dolphins.
Yeah.
And then the Seahawks and the Lions, which actually should be a pretty fun one.
Where's that one at?
Those teams are pretty good. It's in Detroit.
It's in Detroit.
In Detroit.
Okay.
Two baseball games today.
Yeah, man.
In Atlanta.
About to start. One of them about to get.
One of them starts
yesterday,
in an hour.
Yesterday stunk.
Yeah.
Damn it, Charlie.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sorry. Charles.
Yeah, that was Charles.
My God.
Old Charlie can't get out of the first inning.
And then they can't get base runners in. They had opportunity after opportunity to win that damn game.
They just had the wrong guys up. they kept getting the eighth inning. They had guys on first and second. And then it's like, oh, man, I wish they could turn the lineup over and it could be Michael Harris because he seems to get a hit every single time he's up right now. And the bottom of the lineup just not quite as consistent. But, yeah, I don't know. It sucks because – as great as the rotation has been for months now,
yes,
he's the guy.
He's the one.
That'll pop up every once in a while and have a start like that. He had been very good, too.
Charlie.
But there was a couple of those starts.
You know what Charlie is? Charlie is like when you're playing craps in Vegas and them dice hit the chips.
Yeah.
That crap.
Exactly
every time. When them dice hit them chips.
You're rolling. Everything's
like
going
everything
good.
Everything on fire. Fire.
Dang.
Hit that damn chip.
Yeah.
Seven out.
Hey, speaking of going to Vegas and playing crap.
Hey, we're going to Vegas.
We're going to Vegas.
Yeah, we're going to Vegas, man.
We're
going
to go to Vegas for the Falcons game.
Yeah, man. I'm excited.
Me too. I'm going to Vegas with you.
We're going to Vegas together. And so.
Come on.
Yeah. What could go wrong?
Nothing. It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be awesome.
We're going to do a couple broadcasts Monday and Tuesday. It's a Monday night football game.
Yes.
There's going to be a party on Sunday.
It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be awesome.
I'll meet you there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll meet you there.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're coming from the other way.
Yeah, I'm coming from.
You're coming from north.
I'm coming from north, yeah.
You'll fly down.
I'll fly down, yeah.
From Colorado.
Yeah, I fly from Colorado to meet you in Vegas.
Oh, that's funny because I was thinking, are we gonna fly together? Gonna be like, that's right, you're gonna be coming from here. So anyway.
We'll fly back together.
We'll talk more about that
I'll meet you there.
On the lead up to it because we got plenty of time. But just to sort of set the table, because we'll talk about it, but we'll talk more about it tomorrow because the games are being played today. Essentially, the Braves need to win one of these two games. If they win one of these two games, they're the 5 seed. They go to San Diego and they play the Padres.
Yes.
If they would have won yesterday, they would be headed to San Diego already. They'd probably already be in San Diego
right.
and play the Padres tomorrow.
Right. So
they got Schwellenbach on the mound in game one. If they win that game, game two doesn't matter. Chris Sale won't start.
Right.
If they lose game one,
Chris Sale
they got
play.
Chris. They break in case of emergency.
Yep.
Chris Sale will pitch game two. And they'll need to now. The Mets only need to win one of them, also.
Yes.
So if they split, they both go to the playoffs.
I got
and
a
the
question.
Diamondbacks stay home.
I got a question for you. I thought about this. All right, because you know, in baseball, whenever you win something, you get the champagne.
That's right.
Okay. So obviously, the wild card starts tomorrow.
Right.
So I doubt it. But if they did, and it went away with the split, would the Mets be doing champagne in one locker room and the Braves be doing champagne in another?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Also, do you champagne if you win the first game? Because you got another game in 45 minutes.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, after the game, and it's split. And say, for instance, the playoffs started on Wednesday, so you have a day to recover.
If there was a day to recover, there might be some champagne.
Would they be popping bottles? The Mets be popping bottles in the visitor, and the Braves popping bottles in the...
It'd just be a toast, though. You know how Snit feels about these series right here.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
We got bigger things to attain.
But they still do pop
bottles.
They still pop bottles.
What was really cool is Saturday afternoon, when I was leaving work, I think it was Saturday, right? No, Friday afternoon, or Friday night. There was two pallets of champagne in the hallway for the Royals, who did clinch their playoff berth, even though they got beat on Friday.
And so did they pop bottles?
Yeah, oh yeah.
They pop bottles in the Braves Stadium?
Yeah, in the visiting locker room.
That's great. So they clinched.
Yeah.
Didn't even win. They clinched. And then they're in Atlanta for 2 days. Let's celebrate.
Yeah, man.
There's some hungover Royals today.
Hell yeah.
Or there were yesterday.
Finally, let them off the damn hook.
And then the flip side of that is, so say you're Corbin Burns or whatever, one of these guys that plays for the Arizona Diamondbacks. First game doesn't really matter,
right?
Like, whoever loses, you're just rooting for them to lose in game two so your team can get in. Do they get together and watch game two? Like, do they have a champagne toast
at
whatever their stadium's called in Arizona? If the Braves or the Mets both lose?
I don't know.
If the Braves and the Mets lose two, you know what I mean?
I know.
If somebody loses two games today.
I don't know.
I don't know. There's a lot of champagne.
There's a lot
questions
of champagne questions we have. Here.
A lot of champagne.
But they control their own destiny.
But if you win game one, do you celebrate and get hammered and then go out there and play game two hammered? Who cares?
No. Talking about the Braves.
Yeah.
If they win today, the game one. Do they bullpen second game?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
They might ask me to pitch.
Yeah.
Like, because we'll be off work. I live up that way.
They do get to add someone for the extra doubleheader.
Let me pitch. I don't know what I'll do. I can't make any promises.
I know what you do. The question is for how long? Like, what's your pitch count?
I don't know. I mean, I can go.
Can you throw 125 pitches?
I can throw 125 pitches. Now, they're only going to go about 62 miles an hour tops.
We've seen change-ups, homie.
Okay. We've seen infielders come in and pitch. We've seen whatever. Like,
I also might not get out of the first inning.
I was going to ask, how many outs in 120 pitches?
None.
Zero.
None. Zero.
None. And we've seen guys come in that are.
Like somebody might. Unless somebody
hits it straight at a guy.
No, or like fouls it off. Not fouls it off, but just get up under
just
a little
gets
bit.
Under it.
And it's not like a smashing.
If they let me throw 125 pitches,
okay,
how many outs would I get? Would I get out of the first inning?
11 outs.
You think so? You think I'd get to the fourth inning?
No way in hell.
No way.
No way in hell.
No way.
No way in hell.
Because I don't have a curveball or anything.
You're not getting
that
out of the first.
Here's the thing. You're not going deep into pitch counts. You're not going to have a single at bat go longer
than
two pitches.
You'd be better off throwing it underhand.
I would.
Yeah.
That'd be my changeup.
Yeah, you'd be better. Yeah, you'd
like
be better
Henry
off.
Rowan Gardner.
Yeah.
When he lost his touch. Yeah.
Oh, God. His mom said, floaty.
His mom said, floaty. He took off the – somehow that little piece of tape didn't come off all season.
Yes.
And then it finally came off, and he was like, wait a minute, it was my mom's mitt.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
The movie was great. All right.
I loved it. Let's
get to an NFL no huddle. Noon hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. The Falcons are 2-2. That's the important part.
Yep.
They're 2-2. They were 1-2 going into the game. They're 2-2 coming out of it. They won the game.
Yep.
All right? It wasn't pretty. But they won the game.
Yep.
Let's hear one of the highlights from probably the best game. I would say for sure the best game he's played as a Falcon. The pick six from Troy Anderson.
Tight end, two receivers here to the left. And now Williams is going to check out to the boundary at the right. Carr going to try and make the quick throw. Batted in the air. Intercepted. Anderson's got it. 35-30. 25-20. 10-5. Touchdown, Atlanta. He beat Olave to the end zone.
He's fast.
What a play.
He's fast runner.
What a great play by Judon getting his hand on the ball.
Credit to Judon.
Judon got his hand on the ball. And, Troy was able to get it. I said it earlier. That was the best game he's played. He was active. He was all, I mean, he was
17 tackles.
He played really, really. I thought he played well. He went out. He went out in the game, which sucks. I don't know how what's going to be his status for Thursday. But I thought he played good overall defensively. I thought they weren't stout up front a lot. Yeah. You know, I mean, they got stops when they needed them. But still, you're leaving your offense is 24 minutes of possession back to back games and have been outplayed by 20 games in back to back games.
Yeah,
and it's not good. Not good enough. It's not good enough to get your rhythm offensively, but sometimes the rhythm offensively, you got to get in that rhythm yourself. You know, you got to stay on track. You can't keep having damn penalties every time you have a positive game. And so, I mean, until they figure this thing out, man, it's going to be like this.
Yeah.
It's going to be like this.
Yeah. Until the offense finds a way to possess the ball, to convert on third. They were better on third down yesterday, but still not great. 4 of 11 is... That's 100% improvement from 2 of 9, but still not great, not as good as you'd like to be. They were 7 of 13 on third down, so they were much more efficient on third down than the Falcons were, which is a big part of why they continued their drives and possessed the ball longer, and they ran the ball better. And unfortunately, Bijan couldn't get anything going on the ground. Luckily, they found something in Algier, because Algier really kind of started taking over that game with his physicality and the way that he was running it in the second half. He had more carries than Bijan did in the game, which you're not going to see very many times this season.
He was going downhill, no fair dodging.
Yep.
I mean, he had two hands on the football and was trying to run through people. He put one dude out.
He did.
You know, and that's what
and made a couple other guys
think
twice.
Hold on now. Yeah. Hold on there, big fella. And I don't know if Bijan, because he went in under the shoulder, something was this past week. I don't know if that had something to do with it, but they got to figure out something. I know we already got a couple tweets about Kyle Pitts already. I don't know what to tell you. I really don't. Now, he had one. He did alligator arm it. The other one on the drag route, he got his feet got tangled up.
Yeah.
They are doing too much chip and go with him. And it's not allowing him to use what he, you know, use the speed downfield and everything. It's chipping and then going. You know, so they're trying to secure this protection, this seven-man protection, but you got to figure something else out. That's why you got Charlie Warner. I know they tried to flip it up yesterday with Charlie Warner coming in and running a route. They tried to switch it up on him and change up some tendency and everything. Damn that.
He's a really good blocker. I don't care if people know that he's coming in to block, right? Let Kyle Pitts do what he's –
Yes, let Kyle Pitts run routes.
I want to say let Kyle Pitts do what he does best, but I just don't know. We just haven't It's all a fable at this point.
Yep.
It's all a campfire tale about what he's supposed to be. We just haven't seen it. Here's Raheem Morris being asked about it after the game.
You know, it's just about going out there and winning the game when you're out there and you're playing. You know, he had a couple targets today, had a couple things going out that way. You know, we believe we got a questionable call at the end of the stretch again to Kyle. And, you know, those things are always unfortunate. But, you know, really for me, man, stats are for losers, man. I don't get involved in that stuff. But you go out there, you try to win each game, and we were able to win it today. And that's what we did.
Yeah, tell that to Kyle when he doesn't hit any of his incentives.
Yeah, tell me that.
Stats are for losers, bro.
Yeah, sorry,
it's going to cost me $500,000. Yeah, no.
We're not playing fantasy football.
Yeah, it sounds a little bit like that, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I mean,
it's the Raheem version of Arthur Smith's fantasy football comment.
Yeah, I think that, you know, and the one thing I love about it was after they took away that crap call for Bijan, like Kurt was hot.
Oh yeah.
He was, and I love
it. It was a bad call.
It was hot because it was a terrible call. You saw him on the sideline, and they just couldn't get back, bounce back from that play right there. But you saw it on the sideline and his demeanor. I'm just curious, like, when we talk about the field goal, and me and you both were like, okay, well, there we saw the line. I saw the line just like everybody said, oh, damn it, they got to get right there. Well, the Falcons looked at it as like, okay, we know 54 is long, but we've seen this dude kick 60-plus.
Yeah.
So
next game, the line will be further back.
Yes, if we don't get a yard right here, we can't lose any. But if we don't gain a yard right here, because we have no timeouts, and obviously they're playing the sidelines. We're talking about the Saints. They're playing the sidelines. So if we can't get the ball, if we get tackled in bounds, how much time will we have left to spike it and get our field goal unit on the team? Because when you spike it, the play clock starts still.
Right.
And so how much time do we have to get up and get set and spike the ball, get our emergency fast field goal in, set, and then go?
Yeah, no, they seem perfectly content. They're like, all right, there's a couple deep shots we like. We're going to err on the side of overthrows, if one of these guys runs it down and scores a touchdown, cool.
Yeah.
If not, Young Wei Koo's going to make a 58-yarder, and we're going to go home happy. Luckily, Young Wei Koo made a 58-yarder, and we went home happy. Because I wouldn't have blamed him if he missed it. It's like, come on, man. Like, that's a ridiculous distance to ask a guy. I'm glad he did it. I also had flashbacks because that's exactly what the Huskies did on Friday night at the end of that game.
I thought they had it.
I was like, this guy's missed two field goals and he's never made a field goal longer than 45 yards in his life. You guys are happy with a 55-yarder to end the game?
It was online.
Cool. Good coaching.
It was online.
It was. It was a little short, though.
Yeah, it was online.
A little short. Anyway, Young Ways wasn't. It went in. They won the game. They're 2-2. Short week. They got the Bucks on Thursday. That'll be a lot of fun. Plenty of time to talk about that. We'll come back, though, and get you caught up on everything else that happened in the NFL yesterday. Preview the couple of games that are coming up tonight as well. Yesterday, a pretty crazy day in the National Football League. So don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yeah, they'll be talking about that on a podcast.
Yeah, it's crazy.
In a couple of years from now.
Aaron Rodgers and his head coach, they do not like each other.
No.
You can tell everything. They don't like each other.
Yeah, no. I think, because Robert Saleh is a very specific type of football guy. Yes. And Aaron Rodgers is not that now.
Yeah, they don't like they don't like each other. And Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. Jalen don't like him. I don't know why, if it's the other way around. Jalen don't like this cat.
And I don't blame him.
Jalen does not like this cat.
And if it keeps going like this, he's not going to have to deal with him for very much longer.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I just don't see it.
Sirianni might be the first guy fired.
They said Jalen gave the post-game speech to the team afterwards. And their head coach didn't say nothing. I play a long time. I've been around this game a long time, man. They've been in a lot of locker rooms. The head coach always speaks.
Huh.
He didn't speak.
Really?
Yes, Jalen spoke.
You've never had a situation where the head coach didn't say anything after a game?
Never.
That's – huh.
Never. Never.
What's Sirianni doing?
All right, man, gather around.
Yeah, let's just – got to say something.
Yeah, something.
I'm the head coach.
Yeah, man.
We just got smoked. We're not any good. The season's almost over.
Yeah,
let me at least say something mildly inspirational. Yeah. Huh. Well, there you have it.
Yeah,
Aaron Rodgers, he'll play coy now, but then in a couple of years when he's retired or off that team or whatever, he'll say some bad stuff about Robert Saleh on a podcast. And then you know what Robert Saleh will do?
Yep.
He'll take the high road.
He'll take the high road.
He'll take the high road. He won't say anything about it. Were you telling me Cam Newton and Shedeur Sanders don't like each other now because of the podcast?
I don't know. I saw it. I saw Cam went to go dap up Shedeur. Shedeur looked like crazy. Gave him a soft, what up, dog, get out my face.
Oh, gave him the I'm not really here for this dap.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay. Then I saw Cam's thing. I was like, damn, Cam, like, okay, all right. All right, y'all need podcast. But at least he don't play no more.
Right.
Yeah, he don't play no more.
That's true.
But and I don't see nothing wrong with what he asked, but I'm just like, what is? Why do you have to ask that? Like, what game is what? He's right. Okay, he's back. He's been in Colorado. It was at Jackson State.
Yeah.
They don't play a lot of.
He said, what big game is Shador won?
Yeah. I was like.
He played that many big games.
Played that many. That was a great game by them, though.
Yeah.
That was a great game.
They're playing good football.
When they can run the football, oh, man. With that offense, yeah, they cook.
We were talking about Travis Hunter off the air, too.
I love that guy.
Yeah, man.
I love that guy.
I love the player, but I love the guy.
He's just a good dude.
He's a very interesting guy, but certainly a great football player. All right. Back into what happened yesterday in the National Football League. We don't need to hear any highlights from this one, but the Bears beat the Rams.
Whoopee! The
Rams don't have anybody playing for him. Caleb actually played okay.
Did you see the video, the celebration?
No.
Oh, God.
What did he do?
I'll show you the video. When he's running out the field, that's why I said, like he said, you know he said hip, hip parade. You should have seen the job. Well, I mean, the dude is young. He's happy to win a football game.
Yeah.
But I love it. I love it.
Yeah,
they have nobody. DeAndre Swift had a big, big run.
Yeah, he actually played really good.
He played pretty good because he's been catching some heat. And now all of it ain't been on him because they ain't been blocking no damn body. But they're actually 2-2, though.
They're 2-2. DeAndre Swift had 7 catches for 70 yards. And he had almost 100 yards rushing as well. So, yeah, they needed it. They won. They're 2-2, like you said. Vikings are 4-0.
Yeah.
They tried to not be. They tried to give that one back.
Yes.
But let's hear from Sam Darnold and his favorite target.
First and goal from the 14. Darnold out of the shotgun puts Jefferson in motion to the right. He'll go that way to the end zone. Caught! Touchdown!
Are you kidding me with that catch?
Justin Jefferson with a 14-yard touchdown grab. And the Minnesota Vikings lead the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field 27-0 with 5:28 to go in the first half.
What a freaking grab. What a freaking throw.
Justin Jefferson's amazing.
I don't know how he caught that ball or how Sam Darnold. I mean, it was just perfect. It was just perfect right there. And, Justin Jefferson. I mean, we talked about it. O'Connell's a hell of a football coach.
He's a really good football coach.
But that damn beef flow and that defense.
He's a really good football coach, too.
And then Sam Darnold, he ain't Darnold.
No.
He ain't Darnold.
And that's the thing is, like, every week goes by. I mean, another 3 touchdowns, passer rating 123. Like, he's making throws like that. Like, do you buy it?
I'm not going to.
We did the same thing 3 years ago or 2 years ago with the Vikings and Kirk Cousins.
We did.
We're like, I don't buy it.
Right.
I don't buy it. And then they went 13-4 and they lost in the first round.
Yeah.
And then now he's here.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Did you see this yesterday? Why did I just see this? This is from Kirk Cousins, and I quote, they're playing that song about the swag, the surf. I feel like this is pretty sweet.
Yeah, that sounds like about right.
Yeah, there you go. Because I'm telling you, that thing.
That sounds about right.
I'm talking about that place over there, that Mercedes-Benz, from me just watching it on TV, looked like it was going.
Yes, I think that was
the
best.
It looked like it was going yesterday.
I think that was the best home crowd. I wasn't in there, but you hear from people that were, and then obviously watch it on TV and hear it and all that. That was it.
That thing like it was going.
Win a couple more.
Yeah, man.
Win on Thursday. You know, try to figure some things out, obviously, because they didn't win pretty yesterday, but they won anyway. I know. It's just a powder keg. It's waiting to be a great home field advantage. Just give the people a reason to let it be. Jordan Love played yesterday. He threw the ball 55 times because he had to. They were down 28-0 in the first half. They damn near played their way back into that thing, though. The Vikings were up 28-0, like you heard. They won 31-29.
Yeah.
So they hung on and won that football game. They'll play again. That'll be fun when they get back together. The Steelers have lost. The Steelers have lost a football game. They are no longer undefeated. Didn't expect the loss to come at the hands of this guy, but it did. And here's a very old Joe Flacco talking about his personality after the game.
You know, I think my personality probably lends itself decent to this type of situation because, it's like don't overthink it. Don't overdo it. It's just a game of football. Go out there. If the guy's open, throw it to him and hit him. You know, just keep it simple.
It is. It's very simple. They won.
if you're talented enough to do it.
Anthony Richardson goes out, hurt his hip again or something like that.
He was actually playing pretty good,
So he's playing
too.
All right. Justin Fields played pretty good, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they had the quarterback center exchange problem and everything. He said
a couple
fumbles and everything, but I thought he played pretty good. Then they had the unfortunate George Pickens, just doing too much. We're doing too much. Ball pops out. But yeah, Flacco old as hell. They said Flacco said that he's 8 days older than Anthony Richardson's mama.
Anthony Richardson, the starting quarterback.
Yes, the starting quarterback.
The guy who he backs
up.
He's 8 days older than his mom.
That's what he said.
God, that's funny.
That's funny as hell. That is funny, man. But
Anthony Richardson, I know the second one, he was hurt, so he was just trying to protect himself.
Mm.
Minka could have killed him if he wanted to. I'm glad he didn't.
Yes, Minka could have broken him in half.
He could have
broken
ended
in half.
His season.
Yeah, man. But, yeah, typical type thing.
The Jets lost a game to the Broncos in which Bo Nix passed for 60 yards.
Yes. It was
At one point during the game, Bo Nix had negative passing yards.
Yes, it was, and it was raggedy up there in MetLife. It was raining and everything. But, yeah, like Aaron Rodgers can't get a touchdown?
I guess they're not going to have to wonder how to deal with success this week.
No, they're not. I wonder what's going to be the excuse this week. I'm telling you, him and Robert Saleh, I bet there have been some hell of a screaming matches at each other.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I bet.
But Aaron doesn't really scream anymore. He kind of just, like, condescends.
It makes you want to punch him in the damn face.
He just talks to you like he's smarter than you.
Yeah, make you want to punch him in his face.
God.
Okay.
Is he no. I'm thinking. Because I do want to punch him in the face.
Yeah.
Is he number one on the punchable face list right now in sports? Like active players.
Active player, probably. Him.
Sean Payton.
Sean Payton's always going to be
there. He's always there.
Sean Payton's always going to be there.
They were in the same building yesterday. That's a punchable face matchup right there.
Beat up face and everything.
But Sirianni's got a punchable face too, though.
I just don't understand that, dude. Like, he just, I don't know.
Every time I say Sirianni, my phone thinks I say Siri.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Quit listening to me.
I don't understand it, dog. I really don't, man. I don't understand it.
The Bengals beat the Panthers.
What a play by Ja'Marr Chase.
Ja'Marr Chase is incredible.
What a play.
That offense is really good. That defense is really bad in Cincinnati, though. But they weren't as bad as 0-3. They played okay in a couple of those games. I still think they're going to be okay.
Their defense really sucks. Their defense is bad.
Yeah, their defense is really bad. The Jaguars are 0-4.
Yeah, I thought
be the first coach that gets fired.
I thought they had it yesterday, too, man. I thought Trevor just makes the easy look so difficult.
He does. He used to make the difficult look so easy. He just overthrows everybody.
He makes it look so
You think he's
hard.
Hurt?
I don't know, but he makes it look. He makes the routine play look so damn hard.
Yeah, he looks totally off right now, which, you know, they're not going to win very many games if that's the case. Nico Collins, by the way, huge day, 150 yards receiving and a touchdown.
Yeah, man, he's cold-blooded.
He's good.
He's cold-blooded.
Speaking of cold-blooded, Jaden Daniels.
He's pretty good.
I think he's just the real deal.
He's pretty good.
Like, they beat the Cardinals yesterday 42-14. He's 26-30? He's completing 82% of his passes in his first four games as a pro.
Pretty good.
He's the real deal, man. Pretty cool for Washington. It's been a while.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is that he's got to stay healthy. I think that's everybody's thought process with him, is him staying healthy because of his frame and all those other things. He's got to, you know, continue to get better. Because the thing about it is, it's going to be growing pains. It's going to be some bump. He's still a rookie. Mm-hmm. He's still a rookie and everything. They're playing good around the running the football with Cliff running the football.
Yeah, that's the best.
And I think that's the best part about it. They got a hell of a run game. That always will help a young quarterback. And he got him a legit receiver, too, in Terry.
Yeah. So. And he's finding him now, too, because they got off to a little bit of a bumpy start the first couple weeks. 49ers always find a way. I mean, everybody's hurt, but Patriots are terrible.
They are.
I mean,
awful.
That's just a bad.
They are awful.
Team,
Debo was back. Kittle's great play, right? Like Moss, like three dudes with a touchdown. Mm-hmm. Purdy's playing pretty good, actually.
Yeah, so's Mason.
Yeah,
Jordan Mason, man.
He's playing pretty.
He's
Jordan
filling
Mason,
in perfect.
It just irritates you because damn running back in that system.
Yeah,
just gets busy.
Yeah, it always happens.
Yep.
The Raiders and the Browns played just a horrible football game.
Another crappy ass call.
Just a horrible football game.
Another crappy call, Deshaun. That was a touchdown. Deshaun hit him, and then they called that holding. It was awful. I saw him yelling, who the hell was Jameis going after on the sideline? I mean, just an awful game. The Raiders lost. They didn't have their two best players. And the Browns still lost.
Mm-hmm.
Lost.
Yeah, the Browns are bad, man.
Yeah, man.
They're 1-3.
They're freaking awesome. And then friendly fire. Damn it. Damn, Patrick Mahomes takes out his number one wide receiver.
Oh, I know.
Just brutal.
Yeah, it looks like Rashee Rice is going to be out for the remainder of the year. ACL, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah,
that was brutal.
And yet and still,
they won.
Chiefs didn't play very well, but they won. They're 4-0. They win 17-10 over the Chargers. Kelsey's all right, I guess.
Yeah.
7 catches, 90 yards, looked fine, so I guess all the overreaction.
It is.
And then also Rice being off the field, you kind of got to go to him. And then honestly, probably the best performance of the week was the Ravens last night. Like, Henry, they figured him out.
Second play of the game. This dude is 6'4", 260 pounds.
Yeah.
and ran 8 and 8 and had an 87-yard touchdown.
And he's been doing it to these – I mean, he did it – obviously, you saw the high school tape back in the day, and it's like, well, that's a freak.
Yes.
And then he went to Alabama, and it's like, well, all right, that's crazy.
With the angles on him.
And now he's been doing it in the NFL for like a decade.
Yes.
He's 30, and he's still doing it.
Yeah. Lamar Jackson went 12 or 15 or something like that, threw 2 touchdowns and ran one.
Yeah.
Like
– fine.
All right.
Yeah, that's nice. Again, it took him a little bit of time to figure out exactly how to use him and incorporate him into what they wanted to do run game-wise. They figured it out. 35-10 last night against the Bills. Those teams will – I feel like that's a rematch. Those teams are still quite good.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
Everybody said – who was there? Oh, my man, J-Dub said it was electric up in there.
Great.
I love it, man.
That's exactly what you want to hear. And then 2 games tonight. Yeah. Kind of a doubleheader. They overlap. Don't really probably need to watch that much of the Titans and the Dolphins unless you have like a cousin that plays for one of them. Yeah. And then the Seahawks and the Lions should be pretty damn good, actually. Seahawks is sneaky 3-0, and the Lions are a good football team.
Yeah.
In Detroit?
Yeah. That should be a good one right there, man. But
I think the Lions will beat them.
You do?
Yeah. I don't think the Seahawks are that good.
I don't think the Lions are playing up to the potential yet.
They're not.
I just don't think
they're not. But I think the Seahawks have been very fortunate.
I think
their defense in Seattle.
Their
defense
legit,
is pretty good. Their defense is pretty good. It's hard to say. I mean, they played the Dolphins last week.
Yeah.
Post-Tua. All right, here's what we're going to do. You want to do this? Get the phone lines open?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Get the phone lines open.
We don't want you to just call when you're mad.
No, call when you're happy. Or maybe you're mad, but they won, but call anyway. 404-726-0929. We'll talk about that Falcons win from yesterday. Would love to hear from Falcons fans next. Falcons are 2-2. We can talk about the 4 games. We can talk about yesterday. Whatever you want to talk about Falcons related, it is up to you. The floor is yours, Falcons fans. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour of the Midday Show with Andy and Randy is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. You get back into the big story of the day, top of the 1 o'clock hour. There's so many big stories today, though. Like, I don't know what is. I mean, most recent Falcons win yesterday. We'll get to the phone lines in just a minute. That game between Georgia and Alabama on Saturday night was
it was unreal,
crazy, it was just unreal. A crazy yes. football game.
Highs, lows.
So yeah, highs, lows. So many lows, and then just the craziest highs, and then another low. Depending on what side you're on, obviously, if you're an Alabama fan, that had to be just gut wrenching to watch that game slipping away.
Oh yeah,
and then Ryan Williams makes that play at the end.
I mean, the coverage is not bad by Hump.
Yeah, it's not bad.
You got to get him on the ground. Mm-hmm. You got to get him on the ground, and then just. Give him a shot to make a play.
Yeah, I don't like that
Carson.
Throw.
I just don't like that throw. And, I mean, after all they y'all did to battle back to lose it like that, I was like, you know, but that was, you know, out when you talk about coaching and adjustments, it was on both sides.
Yeah, it was
because
two great coaches.
The opening half, Alabama knew everything Georgia was going to do and had a play and a counter for every defense that they ran. Yep. And then halftime, Kirby goes in there, they figure out some stuff, and then they get it going. And then they finally take the lead. And then they come back in the next play later. It's like, it was unbelievable. The highs and highs and highs and lows.
We'll get back into that in the 1 o'clock hour. Also, the Braves have a doubleheader today.
Lego!
Just got to win one of them.
That's it.
Just got to and win the first one. Because then Chris Sale wouldn't have to pitch. You can rest guys and whatever. You lose the first one. The Mets aren't going to play anybody in game 2. Yeah. They're going to do the same thing the Braves would do if they won game 1. So then Chris Sale has to pitch against a bunch of bench guys.
Yeah.
Probably throw a no-hitter. But you not waste him. You got to use him. But then you can't pitch him in the wild card round, which wouldn't be good. So win the first one. Then you can have him for tomorrow, I guess. Would it be tomorrow? Would they play them tomorrow? Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
All right.
Jump on the plane to Cali.
Before we do any of that, though, let's react to what the Falcons did at home yesterday with a victory over the Saints. Get the 2-2 through 4 games. We'll start with Easy E, who's in Dallas.
Hi, hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, man.
What up, man?
First of all, I want to say no.
Yeah, man.
RIP to Kimbe, man.
Yeah.
Sad news, but
definitely.
I was at the game yesterday. I was sitting right in front of Shaheed when he muffed that punt. The crowd was electric, man. We have a potential to have a really good home field advantage, man. I also was talking with some Saints fans. Is it just me, or does Kyle Pitts look like he's playing lazy out there? There are certain things that'll get you, but it just looks like he's running lazy routes and just giving up too easy and allowing these people to undercut him. Like, I just don't understand what's going on. I think that's what's missing from the offense is him being able to open up the middle of the field like he was able to do back in a couple of years ago. Right. I just don't understand this offense right now, man. I just want to know what you all think about that.
Yeah, thanks, E. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, E. I just think it. I think it's just a different role he's doing, Andy, and I keep seeing it. Like he's pass throwing a lot more.
He's doing what?
Pass pro. Oh,
okay.
He's pass pro a lot more. This is one of my view more than I think he should.
No, your view is the one.
He's doing a lot.
The position.
He's doing a lot more chipping and going. Now, do I think that he can be better as far as his routes? Yeah, they do look lazy sometimes. And a lot of times, it's not necessarily that it's lazy. It's rushing. Like because you ain't caught a ball all damn day, and you know you haven't caught a ball all day, and the play is you got to get 10 yards. Well, you snap it at 7, and he's not ready to throw you the football. You know, and so that always plays into it because he has all the ability in the world. They got to incorporate him, but to get him incorporated, you got to run more damn plays.
Right.
You got to run of those 20 plays that they were outplayed by. Outplayed whatever you want to call it from the Saints. That's 7 targets for Kyle. That's maybe 5 targets for Kyle. They got to possess the ball to get all these people, all these weapons involved. And so that's how I view it. That's my 2 cents.
No,
he's got to play better. Don't get me wrong.
That's totally reasonable.
You can't alligator arm. You know you're going to get hit. You might as well catch it.
Yeah, you're a tight end. You're going to catch it over the middle a lot.
Yeah, like, and you get your feet caught up because you're not running on the route. You're running on the route, but you're not running the route. Stair-step his ass and create the space. That's just one-on-one.
Right. And there's a lot that goes into it. I mean, I don't know. It's very frustrating to be sitting here 4 games into year 4 for him. After all the conversation and hype of the offseason and Kirk Cousins and that relationship and everything in training camp and all of that, and to have it still look like this, it's just crazy. Like, it's almost inexplicable that a guy is seemingly as talented as him goes out there and have 0 catches in a game like that.
I agree.
It just doesn't make any sense. And we're doing the same thing we were doing last year and the year before talking about it. And hopefully we have to stop talking about it because they start throwing him the ball. But until they do, we will. What was Rashid Shaheed doing on that punt?
I don't know.
What in the world was he thinking?
Everything's changed.
I mean, I'm glad he did it.
We were all taught heels at 10.
Yeah.
You don't back up.
He's trying to go over the shoulder at the 3.
What the hell are you doing? What are you doing?
That was
heels
crazy.
Heels at 10.
That was a big mistake.
Yeah. Heels at 10, and you don't back up to fill the punt.
All right. Reggie is in Lithonia. What's up, Reggie?
What up, Reggie?
Hey, man. First off, I want to say anytime we beat the Saints in any way is a good day.
Yes. Agreed.
And I'm glad of it.
Yes.
But the one thing I'm just saying, the success that this team has had against Philadelphia and New Orleans, I don't see anything that's replicable because it's like I really don't see what this team does well.
Right.
And there's a lot of money invested in a lot of key positions. And the best player on this team right now is Younghoe Koo. That is the only player that I have any faith in. And just like y'all said, and at the beginning of the season, I heard all about these guys, this talent, right? Like, 2 games in a row, Bijan Robinson needed a yard and could not get it. So that leads me to wonder, even if they did call that pass interference against Kansas City, is there any guarantee that we would have got a touchdown right there?
Right, I agree.
I don't get it. And Ebbie Cady, the only thing I can say we do well is play the pass defense. That is the one thing I can say. So I want to be optimistic, and I know people saying, well, give it time. But, you know, we only have 13 games left. Yeah. This is not like baseball.
Right.
So what's up?
Yeah, Reggie, no, I appreciate it. I think you bring up a really good question.
I love that.
Which is,
what do they do best?
4 games in.
Yep.
And we can just focus on the offense.
Okay.
What does the offense do? Like, what does the offense hang its hat on?
Nothing.
Nothing?
No.
Nothing.
No, because they have not clicked all year. They clicked.
There's a couple drives.
There's a couple drives. Obviously, the Eagles drive, the opening drive against Kansas City was beautiful.
It was a really good drive.
It was a really good drive.
That's the best they've looked.
Yes.
That
drive. And now you just can't, because I think every time you get into, we talked about it, the rhythm of offense, you can't stop the rhythm. Penalty stopped the rhythm. Lost play stopped the rhythm. And they have those too many damn times when you look like it, when it looks like something is good. Something's good going on.
No, I agree. Again, it's it feels fortunate to be 2-2
yes.
with the way that the offense has played, and given what we thought sort of the strength of the team was going to be. We thought that would be the strength of the team right. by game four. Mm-hmm. Maybe 3-4, you'd kind of see it polished up and coming together.
You know what, the defense is good. They didn't give up a big play.
Yeah, the defense has been solid.
They didn't give up the big play.
They're not a great defense. No, I don't think anyone expected them to be a great defense. No. They've come up with some timely turnovers for sure. Obviously, Troy Andersen and his pick six yesterday was huge.
Yes.
The Simmons interception against Kansas City was a big interception. But yeah, no, they're, you know, Judon's been solid, still hasn't been as impactful, but also they haven't been in a lot of passing situations.
And they're
them.
Not doing enough. Oh, now the freaking the cover zero blitz was awesome. Right down there, fourth down, you come and go. No, yes. Do not let him sit back there, and they wouldn't lit his ass up. And what a play by the corner to get that ball out. But yeah, I think they've just been solid. I think defense has been solid. But there's a reason why they're 20 plays. You know, the opponents has 20 more plays that are run. Because defense not getting on the ball. They're not getting on the defense.
True.
You know? They're allowing these sustained drives. Now, they don't give up a lot of points, but you're taking away
plays. A lot of bending.
You know what I mean?
A lot of bending and not breaking, which is allowing a lot of long drives. The offense has to help, too.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I would say through four games, the defense has been better than the offense for sure. Demetrius is in Decatur.
Yes.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen.
What's Hello. Up?
Made the game yesterday. Good thing. I like the defense. I like that. But is Zach Robinson over his head? They're too vanilla, too predictable. You got Algier. You got Robinson. We haven't seen them in the backfield together as much as I like. And we don't have to worry about picks after this year because I hope we don't pick up the scrimmage option.
They're to pick it up. They picked it up.
They did that.
They already picked it up.
Yep. Because you got to do it before year four. But anyway, thank you, Demetrius.
Appreciate it. Why do I want to see Tyler Algiers and Bijan in the backfield?
That was my least favorite play of the whole year.
You saw what happened. You saw what happened when they both in the backfield.
That was my least favorite play of the whole year.
One of them made a fullback.
Now, look, I agree the offense has been inconsistent and shaky and all that kind of stuff. I don't know if, like, lack of creativity is my issue.
No, it's not.
I think it's lack of execution.
Exactly what it is. And so what is causing this lack of, you know, of execution?
Because that's a great question.
I don't think Kurt's ankle or whatever he wants to call it is the reason why this offense is sputtering. I don't know what it is. They can't block them up front, and they can't sustain drives, and they can't, you know, convert third and longs. I mean, that's what I see. And if they're not running the football, because to me, especially like in the second quarter, they made a conscious effort not to run the football. He's going to drop Kirk back the whole time. All right. That's not what he does.
No, it's
– But all right.
He likes to play action.
Yeah.
Likes to work off the run.
Play action pass works better when you have a positive run game.
Yeah. It's hard to – they don't really care that much about play action if the run's not going.
I just thought the line of scrimmage was where I was like, damn, all you see is white jerseys on the other side.
That's yesterday.
Yeah.
They lost the line of scrimmage week one.
Mm-hmm.
They lost the line of scrimmage against the Chiefs.
Yes.
Eagles game?
Push.
Push?
Yeah.
So there it is.
Yeah.
They're losing the line of scrimmage. That's what it is. I mean, that's simple as that.
They got to
both sides of the ball.
They got to be. I mean, I ain't heard Grady's name in 2 weeks.
Nope.
Yeah.
Got off to a nice start.
Yeah.
Haven't heard his name in a couple weeks. All right. We'll come back. We'll get back into the big story of the day. We'll let you hear a little audio post game from yesterday. Kirk Cousins had an answer to the question as to why Kyle Pitts didn't have a catch either. And we'll get back into a college football Saturday at 1:20 as well. Obviously, the Georgia-Alabama game. Some other fun results as well. So don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.